Today's daf in Masechet Eruvin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Samach Tet. And what I'd like to just do for a moment, if you don't mind, is review with you so that it can be very clear what is happening. The last thing that we were questioning was the lashon of the Mishnah, which is mashma that if, in fact, the children would have gone out and they would have been machzik in the mavui, that then it would not have helped for the guy to have taken back his rishus. It would have been too late. We understood it because he would have been machzik in that rishus. So the last thing that we learned was the question at the bottom of Samachet Samud Beis, which is, that if they would have first been machzik, that then it would not have caused any problems for the guy to take back his rishus. What do we do with the fact that it says, somebody, that's the Mishnah coming up, somebody who gave his rishus. Note, by the way, please, because it's going to be very important later, it does not say Misha Bitel Rishuto. It says Misha Natan Rishuto, which may be something very different. So, but in any event, it says somebody who gave his rishus and he was Motzi, whether it was Bishogeg or Mesid, it would be Osor and anybody else just rely on his Nitinat Rishus because he changed his mind. And review this is the same lashon that we had before, except of course for the difference of Natan Rishos or Bitel Rishos. And I thought you said that it doesn't make any difference. Now this is obviously, I mean, anybody who looks at this is this off the wall. You just said a minute ago that there's going to be a difference if you go ahead and you were Marxic in the Mavri before this guy took back his Rishos. And you ask me from a mission that doesn't say when it took place. It just says, if the guy takes his rishos back, that then it's too bad. Yeah. What does that have to do with the question? The question was proved to me that if the guy takes his rishos back after I was already zoche in the rishos, that it's no good anymore. And you're not bringing me any raya at all. It's nonsensical. You yourself just raised the question about whether there's a difference before or after the other people were machzik in the rishus. You yourself opened the question by saying, you mean to say that after the other people in the mavoi, the chotzer, are zeicha in the rishus, that it's too late for the other guy to take it back? How could you say that? The Mishnah says if the guy takes it back, it's no good. Yeah, if the guy takes it back, when, for heaven's sakes? You haven't touched on the issue. So the way that Tosis understands the whole point of the Gemara is the language of Misha Natan Rishuto, that the Gemara was assuming. The problem is that the fact that he was Nosan Rishus means that it already took place, that there was a Kenyan, whereas Bitel Rishus was just a statement. And the statement, that's a statement of intent, but until somebody's actually Zoche in it, it shouldn't make any difference. And here it says, even if you gave the rishus, which is mashma that the bnei ha'mavoi were actually zoche in that rishus. That's the kasha, according to the way Tosis understands the whole point of the Gemara. So it's a semantic issue here. So Reb Yosef buys into that understanding of the language of Mishnatan. And he says, look, I mean, this is a disaster. It's a complete contradiction to what we just learned in Rabbi Meir. I guess it's got to read a no oser, not yes is oser, since it's obviously talking about where you went ahead and you were already zoche. Abaye does not believe that the Lashon, again, this is all Tosfos, Abaye does not believe that the lashon of Misha Natan is so fundamentally different than the lashon of Misha Bitel. And even understanding Misha Natan Rishos could also mean that it was a statement of intent and not that it was actually done in that fashion. So because of that, Abaye is going to have to bring a raya to the semantics. That changes everything. Remember that the way we understood the Gemara on Friday was like, what is Abaye talking about? Bringing in mummer, not a mummer. What in the heck? We've been talking about questions that have to do whether you could be mevat rishus or not mevat rishus, but somebody else was zocha, and now he's bringing in a mummer l'chal Shabbos. What is the point? But the way Tosfos understands it, again, the issue over here is semantical. And Abaye is going to say, I'm going to bring you a raya from a braita, albeit that discusses other issues. But the point is that in that braita, the meaning of the words mishanatan rushut was only a statement of intent. And so you see that you can use it that way. And that's all we're talking about over here. That clarifies things tremendously. And then we don't have all of the issues that we had on Friday. So therefore, this is a review, but it's a review now with the understanding of Tosafot. So says Abaye, what's the problem? Why can't we say kanchi chziku b'nei mavoi b'mavoi and kanchi lo chziku b'nei mavoi b'mavoi? And I'll prove to you that semantically that works, that you can use the language of natan rishud as a synonym for bitel rishud. Where do I see that? Because v'atanya, achalo natan rishuto. If the guy was motzi before he gave his rishus bein b'shogeg bein b'mezid, he can be mevatel his nitzinas rishus. Devar Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda Eimer b'shogeg yachol levatel b'mezid eino yachol levatel. So far, nothing. Misha natan rishuto v'hotzi bein b'shogeg bein b'mezid oser. Devar Rabbi Meir, if the guy already was notain rishus and then he goes out and he's motzi, which seems to be saying that I changed my mind. So whether he does that and b'shogeg, or whether he does it b'mezid, Rabbi Meir says he would be oser. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda said, it depends. If he did it b'mezid, he would be oser. But if he did it b'shogeg, eino oser. Now, and here's the point. Comes along Rabbi Meir and says, oh, by the way, when did I say that he's oser? That's only if the B'nai Mavoi had already not been Marzik in the Mavoi. But if the B'nai Mavoi were Hichziku B'Mavoi, then he doesn't have the right to take it back. He can't Aser them again once they were Kaina the Rishos. So what do you see from there? That the words Natan Rishuto are still able to be defined as either before they were Zocha or after they were Zocha, says Abaye. That's exactly what I'm saying. So your question was completely silly. You're asking me for the Mishnah that use the word Natan Rishuto, and you're convinced Natan Rishuto, oh my God, it's got to be talking about after the B'nai Mavri was Zoicha. So how do you explain this Braita, where Rabbi Meir uses the same exact words of Natan Rishuto, and he says, but it depends, of course, whether they were Marzik or not. Okay, so then Natan Rishuto does not mean that they were Marzik, obviously. That's my Raya. Perfect. Okay, so now getting back to Rabbi Yehuda. Omar Ma. Rabbi Yehuda Omer B'lashon Acheret. Rabbi Yehuda says that's not what happened. Rabbi Gamliel actually told them, you better run out there and do whatever you need to do before it gets dark. Because after it gets dark, then this guy is not going to be able to be Mevato Rishos, because his Bito Rishos is meaningless. So you see from that, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he was a Tzeduki, and therefore it's exactly the same din as a Nochri. Now, but wait a minute. That's not what Rabbi Yehuda said in the Mishnah. I mean, the Braita seems to contradict what he said in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah says, V'anan, quote, Ad shelo yotzitnan. So I understand. He said before the guy comes out, and now we're changing that to read that, no, even if the guy would, even if you were already Kaina, it wouldn't help if you got out there before he does. I understand. So, I mean, at least the point is in the Mishnah that the guy can, he could take it back, but if he didn't take it back, it's good, right? In the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda is saying, just make sure you get everything done because this guy may come out at any minute. Okay, but until he came out, how did I carry? If he has a din of a goy, I understand. Does he have a din of a goy or not? If he doesn't have a din of a goy, like in the Mishnah, how come Rabbi Yehuda says there's nothing to do? He has the same din as a goy. Something's fishy. You're right. It should say Achelo Yetse Hayom, not Achelo Yotzi. This guy, it doesn't matter whether he takes things out or he doesn't take things out. His bittul is absolutely null and void. Why? Because he has the same din as a goy. That's the point. So that is exactly what I'm saying now in the Braisa. So when the Mishnah said Achelo Yotzi, we had it wrong. It was Achelo Yetse, before the day ends, meaning before Shabbos is Chal, before Friday is over. Or if you don't like that shot, I could say there's no real stira between the Mishnah and the Braita. because we might be talking about two completely different things. We might be talking about a guy who's fine. He's not a Shomer Shabbos, okay? But the question is he Mechalel Shabbat B'Tzina'ah, or is he a Murmur L'Chalel Shabbat B'Farhesia? If he will be Mechalel Shabbat, this, of course, is the marker of that tremendous distinction, which is Nogea, very many halachas, about whether a person is a Murmur L'Chalel Shabbat B'Farhesia, has the din of a goy for many things. When we say Befarhesia, the definition of Befarhesia is always with our 10 people. So in terms of Chilul Hashem, it's 10 people, but here it's not necessarily that 10 people have to be present. It's that he has to know that there's going to be 10 people that are going to know about this. So that essentially he's publicizing himself as a Mechalel Shabbos. So over there, and plus, we need to take into consideration also, because we're going to see some very strange things about the tzeduki. Because Bipashtas, the tzeduki is ipso facto Mechalel Shabbos. Because if Lamaisa, remember, the guy, what Chilul Shabbos did the guy do here? He carried out into a chotzer without an Erev, without his bit or shiris. I mean, that's a drabana, right? So apparently, being Mechalel Shabbos on an Issa Drabbana is considered to be Mechalel Shabbos B'Farhesia. And if that, I mean, otherwise we could very easily make the difference between was he Mechalel Shabbos B'Farhesia B'Diraisa or was he Mechalel Shabbos B'Drabbana? I mean, as Tosis is B'Dayit. So that would mean that if a Tzeduki does not accept the Dinim Drabbanan, so why wouldn't he be, by definition, a Mechalel Shabbos? Because the way that he keeps Shabbos is the way that we're defining Chilul Shabbos. So something's funny about that. So Tosfos says, well, we find in the Gemara that it says, B'ni, afa pisha tzedukim anachnu yureim anu min aprushim. So there were tzedukim that kept Shabbos b'farhesia, even though they didn't believe in it, the Rabbanans. But the simple explanation is the way that it's actually paskin in the Shulchan Aruch, which is that, in fact, if I really shouldn't say this in the Shulchan Aruch, but the way we paskin halacha. I mean, the Mishnah Berurah certainly paskins this way, that if the guy was raised as a tzeduki, so then he doesn't even know. I mean, this is the way he was raised. He believes this is the way you keep Shabbos. Somebody who never was educated about what it means to be a Shomer Shabbos is not considered to be a Mechalel Shabbos unless he so defines himself as a Mechalel Shabbos. He goes out of his way to say, well, I'm not interested in Shomer Shabbos. But otherwise, I mean, we just consider him to be basically a Tinok Shenishba. We're not going to give him a din of an actual Nochri. Okay. So that, I mean, the Beis Yosef himself also buys into that. All right. Anyway, so if this is the case, then who is the author of this bright? So someone who is a mumar, or he's megala ponim. What does that mean? What do you mean megala ponim? A gilui ponim is like a mumar? What do you mean? No, of course not. So what it must mean is that a mumar big gilui ponim, which means that he is open about the fact of his being a mumar. That's what it means. Is eno yochol levatel rishus. So that's what it means over here. So therefore, what it boils down to is that Aliba de Rebbe Meir, a tzeduki, is able to be mevatel, and he's also able to be mevatel that bittel as long as the other people were in zeicha first, just like anybody else. And then, depending how we understood Rebbe Yehuda, we had the two terutim in Rebbe Yehuda, either a tzeduki bichlal is considered to be like an akum and is not shayach to be bitul rishus, or the way we understood it in the Mishnah, lechatchila, if we don't change that, so then it means that tzeduki can be mevatel rishus, but even if other people are zaycha before he comes out, he can actually be mevatel his bitul. Everybody has agreed that if he's also a mumer lechalo shabbat b'farhesia, which is not necessarily, either because of Tosfos' explanation, is not necessarily what a tzeduki ipso facto is, or because of the explanation of those, including the Beit Yosef, as I said, who paskin that somebody who's raised this way does not understand that he's being Mechalel Shabbos, is not considered to be a Mechalel Shabbos. So in that case, everybody agrees that then he has the same din as an Akum. He can't be Mevatel Rishos, and he can't join the Erev either. Okay. Anyway, getting back to our question. So what were we asking? We wanted to know who is that going according to. It's going according to Rabbi Yehuda, who just said that it's not shayach to be mevatel rishus. Now, a guy walked out into Rishus HaRabim, apparently, on Shabbos, and he was carrying a chumar to the madosha. So he was carrying these spices for, you know, good smell. We had the whole discussion back in Mitzvah Shabbat, if that's considered to be actual carrying, it's or since it's not derech malbush, maybe it's carrying min rabbanan. Others learn that it means a ring that has the stuff in it. Anyway, he sees Rabbi Yehuda Nesia on his way down the street. So the guy quickly, he covers it over, he puts his jacket over it, and all of a sudden, you know, he's like a frum guy, everything's fine, right? It wasn't fast enough because Rabbi Yehuda Nesia noticed it. So Rabbi Yehuda Nesia said to the people with him, a guy like that is embarrassed and he'll try to cover up his Chilul Shabbos. That is not considered to be a Mechal Shabbos Befarhesia. And that's, therefore, he could be Mevatel Rishus, even on Libet Rabbi Yehuda, he could be Mevatel Rishus. Omer Ravuna, so who would you then consider to be a Mumer in terms of Bichlal, all of the different dinim of Mumer across Kol HaTorah Kula? So what would be the definition of a Yisrael Mumer? So we take it to mean Zeh Mechal Shabbatot Befarhesia, and that turns him into a mumer l'kol HaTorah Kula, is what Rav Huda seems to be saying. Amar Lei Rav Nachman, excuse me, but who exactly are you going according to that you're saying that this guy becomes a mumer l'kol HaTorah Kula? I mean, if you're going al libet Rabbi Meir, this is Rabbi Meir in Bechoros, in Machlokas over there, about choshud b'davar echad. So somebody is choshud that there's one area l'halacha that he's not makben on. So then you have to be choshud him if he's gonna do anything else, right? So I mean, if a guy doesn't keep shemitah, so he doesn't keep meisers. If you don't know that he keeps meisers, you have to assume that he doesn't keep shemitah, according to Rabbi Meir. So then, what does it have to do with Shabbos? I mean, according to Rabbi Meir, anything that the guy does turns him effectively into a mumer l'kol HaTorah Kula. So why did you mention dafka? Dafka a Mechal Shabbos. And if you're going to be the Rabbonin who argue and they don't say that Choshe the Dover Echad is Choshe the Kol HaTorah Kula, well, so they say Lo Avi Choshe the Kol HaTorah Kula unless he's a Mumer Lavet is Kechavim. So, but where do you get the idea that Chilul Shabbos is also considered to be a Mumer LaKol HaTorah Kula? If even the Rabbonin who hold that din in Bechorah said, Avodah Zorah, okay, so Avodah Zorah, that's anybody who's made it, and Avodah Zorah is kekoyf for Bechol HaTorah Kula. But how do you have a right to say that just because it's a mumer l'chal Shabbos, so therefore he has a din of a goy across the board? Omer Reb Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Rav Huna was not saying l'chal HaTorah Kula. He was referring to this Masechet. And he was saying, who is considered to be a Mechal Shabbos in terms of the halacha of being able to make an Eruv or to be Mevatel Rishus if he didn't make an Erev? That's how we understand Liten Rishus over here, as opposed to what we were talking about before. And then he was saying somebody who would be Mechal Shabbos, but it would have to be Befarhesia. And I'll prove it to you, says Reb Nachman. Take a look in the Braita. Chidatanya. A Yisrael, even though he's a Mumer, but he's Meshamer Shabbato B'Shuk. In public, he's a Shemer Shabbos. So then, even though we know that privately he would be Mechal Shabbos, he could still be Mevatel Rishus. But if he publicly, then he cannot be Mevatel his Rishus at all. Okay, so that was the way Rabbi Yehuda understood the Nafkamina before, between someone Kan Befarhesia and Kan Betzina. Mipnei She'amru, continues the Braisa, because the general rule that the Chachomim were Koveya is that a Yisrael, as opposed to a Goy, can be no tel rishut, vino tein rishut. So he can accept rights, meaning he can join in an Erev, or he can be mevatel his rishus in the event that he didn't join in the Erev. But in the case of a Goy, ad sheyaskir. So you see that we're taking for granted in the Braita that the din of a Yisrael does not apply to someone who's not Shomer Shabbat or Beshuk. How would you go about being Mevatel Rishus? It's very simple. You just go over to a guy and you say, listen, Rishuti Knuya Lecha, Rishuti Mevatelet Lecha. You don't have to go through anything, not even a Kinyan Suder, nothing at all. Einot Tzarech Liskot, and that is sufficient. Again, because the whole idea is the Rabbanan going through something that is actually, it looks like a real Kinyan. And the fact is, obviously, that if you can do this on Shabbos, which we say we do it on Shabbos, so then we can't view it as a real act of buying and selling, because then it would be also on Shabbos. Rav Ashi says, not necessarily. I mean, you're saying that the only way that we understand is by limiting Rav Huna's statement, Dafka, to the case of Bittul Rishus in Masechet Eruvin. It sure didn't sound like that. I mean, when he was coming along and he was saying, who is considered to be a mumer? It sure sounded to me like he was saying, who is considered to be a mumer? I mean, he didn't say anything about Eruvin. I think we should accept that on face value that he was talking about Kol HaTorah Kula. So you'll say, oh, so then he's not paskening like anybody? How can Rav Huna argue both with Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan? It's very simple. There's another Tana that you're not taking into consideration, says Rav Ashi, and that's this Tana, the Tana who holds that Shabbat has the same din as Avodah Zorah. That's the point. So he says, look, I'm going like the Rabbanan. But the Rabbanan said, unless he's Oved Avodas Kochavim. But there's a Tana that says that being Oved Avodas Kochavim and Chilul Shabbos are basically synonymous. So that if you're Mechalel Shabbos, you have the same din as somebody who is Oved Avodas Zorah. And this is the big sugya. Kiritanya, we've had this brighter many times in the Sifra, when we talked about the question of Adam, the beginning of Vayikra. Adam ki akriv mikem korban la'Hashem. Min ha-be'imam, min ha-bakaru, min ha-tzon, takrivu et korbanchem. So we learned from there that we have mikem. Mikem means of you people, you can be makriv, but that means not all of you. So from some of you, mikem, v'lo kulchem. So this means that a mumer cannot bring a korban. But mikem also means from amongst you, I am making this limitation. But let's say this guy is a goy. It doesn't make any difference if he's a mumer. And even if he's a mumer for Avodah Zorah, he can still go ahead and bring me a korban if he's not Jewish. It's only if he's Jewish that we insist that he has to also be a maimin and not a mumer. So bechem chilakti, so the same word has two meanings. It means not all of you, but it also means that the limitation of not all, which excludes the mumer, is not all of you, but all of others, like goyim. So bechem chilakti, but lo be'umot. When it comes to the goyim, I will accept the korban from anybody. It doesn't matter on his level of emuna. Then it goes on to say, min ha-behema. This means from animal-like people. I accept korbanas from people who are like animals. Lavi b'nei adam ha-domim le-behema. And that is the basis of the psak that the Chachamim say. We will accept korbanas from Poshe Yisrael, even though these people say, I wouldn't let them in my minion, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu lets them in to bring a korban oila. Obviously, if it would come to a chatas and so on, it would be a problem because they would have to do tshuva and say, I would never do this again, so on and so forth. Well, fine. These are poshim, so they wouldn't be that, but they could go ahead and bring an oila. Kidei sheyachzeru b'teshuva. If you end up not even allowing them to have shaychus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if they want to bring a korban, then they'll never do teshuva. Now, this implies that anybody who's on any level of being a pesheya is okay to bring a korban. Continues the brisa, but not everybody. Chutz min hamumar, v'hamenasech yayin, v'hamechalel shabbatot b'farhesya. So anybody except for someone who would go ahead and be menasech yayin to avodah zorah, or somebody who's a mummer, whatever that means. I mean, I don't know. You said Poshe Yisrael. I thought Poshe Yisrael means a mummer, but I guess not. So, I mean, that's what we got to figure out. I mean, isn't the price of contradictions? I mean, it says you can't accept a carbon from a mummer. You open up with that statement. And then you say you can be mekabel korban from poshim. I mean, is that different? Of course, says the Gemara. The difference is that halakasha, the reisha that said that you can't accept a korban from a mumer, is talking about a mumer lekol haTorah kula. And then the next case, which is saying mikan, that you can from a poshea means that this guy basically refuses to pay attention, let's say, to one issue in the Torah. Okay, so now continue, please. Continue reading. Chutz min ha-mumer. Wait a minute. What do you mean? First you say, you said that already. Well, except me poshea Yisrael, which you say by definition is not a mumer, but only a poshea Yisrael who is not a mumer. What? Chutz min ha-mumer? I mean, which mumer? Mumar look. Echidami. I mean, if you're talking about the same mumar you were talking about before, which is a mumar lekol haTorah kula, then you're just repeating yourself, because in the reisha you said mikem velo kulchem lo tziyata mumar. So what are you? It's saying it over again. I mean, I understood myself that when you said mikan shebikablim miposhe Yisrael, you meant miposhe Yisrael who are not mumrim. It's sort of stupid to say as long as they're not mumrim. No, and if you're talking about a mumar ledavar echad. I thought you just said that a mumer ledavar echad is considered to be a poshea. And we are mekabel from a poshea. So what in the world is the meaning of that word mumer? Unless, says Rav Ashi, this is what it means, that chutz min ha-mumer le-nasech yayin lechal shabbatot b'frei hesed. It's not a separate thing. It's saying, a mumer lekol haTorah kula, no. A poshea ledavar echad, yes. But a poshea for these things, which is either avodah zarah in terms of nisuch yayin or chilul Shabbos b'far hesya, So you see that the braita is essentially saying what I said, Sir Rav Ashi. There is a Tana that is saying that chilul Shabbos b'far hesya is the equivalent of mumer lekol haTorah kula, because there's no other way to read this braita. So it must be that alma avodah zarah v'shabbat ki adani minus, according to this Tana, it's all one thing. Shabbos, Chilul Shabbos, therefore works out perfectly well. You're right that the Rabbanan in Becheres, who argue, in fact, they're saying that you need to be a mumer lekol haTorah kula. They only mention Avodah Zarah, but you see from here that being Mechal Shabbos b'farhesya is the full equivalent, Shema Amina. So that's who he was going according to. Okay.
Rabbi, Menasech Yayin, is there something specific about Menasech Yayin, a deeper level of commissionment? That's a little bit funny to say that as opposed to Makriv.
I know it is, but I don't know the answer to that. We spoke about it in Chulin, if you recall. Okay, we are ready now for our Kapitan. So Richard, Shavua Tov.
Shavua Tov, Chodesh Tov.
Chodesh Tov, Urach. Boy, do we need it.
Mishnah.
Anshei Chotzer. So we finally get to the Mishnah we've analyzed 100 times already. Just on this daf, we analyzed it. And here's the lashon of the Mishnah. Anshei Chotzer, sheshachach echad mehem velo yirev. So what's the din? So obviously it's talking about over here that shachach echad velo yirev, and he took advantage of the opportunity to be mevatel. So what's the din after he's mevatel? So the din is that his own house is osur milahachnis velotzi. He and everybody else, lo velahem, even though he gave him all his rights, he gave to the anshei chotzer, nobody can carry in and out of his own house. Because that person, remember we had the machlokas earlier, is his mevatel, his house, or is he only mevatel his chotzer? So we're going over here with the assumption that you are not mevatel the rights to your house. So if you're only mevatel the rights to the chotzer, so then you can't carry between that house and the chotzer because it's a different rishos. Okay, so we'll assume right now that's the point. Nobody, therefore, can carry them, but everybody else's house are all one rishos because of the Erev. And now that he has become a member of the chotzer as a guest, so then fine, he could do whatever they do. So they're mutarin lo, v'lahem, anybody else, if they want to carry out a cholent into the chotzer, they can ask him to carry it out for them, and that's fine. How about vice versa? How about if the people in the chotzer said, oh my gosh, this poor guy, he didn't join the Erev, he's not going to be able to go out of his house. Let us all give our rishos to him. Suppose they do that. So let's say you got three other families in the chotzer. They all tell him we're going to be mevatel our rishus to you. So then the halacha is that he is actually mutter, and he therefore can carry from his house, because now his house in the chutzah is rishus achas, but now everybody else is usher. And it's even usher for some reason, in contradistinction to the case that we had, the opposite case, it's even usher for them to carry from the house of the person that they were mevatel rishus to into the chatzar, which is a contradiction to what we said before, because we said before that if he's mevatel rishus to them, he can carry from their houses into the chatzar. Now, for some strange reason, if they are mevatel their houses to him, he cannot carry from their houses to the chatzar. He can only carry from his own house. For some reason, we're going to have to figure that out. Obviously, everybody else is asurin, so they can't do anything at all, and they can't carry even from his house. Okay. Hoyu shnayim. Now, suppose there were two people that didn't join the Erev, and everybody says, oi, these poor people, let's give them our rishos. Right? So the rest of the chatzar gives their rishos to these two people. It's not going to help, because now there's two people that have all the houses, but two people that have all the houses are going to be answering one on the other, because I still have my house and you still have your house. But what good is it to have all the other homes? We do have private property here, so each one is answering on the other one because they never made an Erev between them. So how is this going to be happy? It's all very nice to say that the chotzer is a joint rishus, but my house is still my private house. So because of that, the whole place becomes usher now. Because the rule is, echad noten rishut v'notel rishut. So one person who is missing out and he didn't join, he can go ahead and he can be noten rishut. But shnayim, if there's two people, what they can do is they can be noten rishut, they can give their rishut to a third guy. Yes, but they cannot, two people cannot be mekabel rishut from another guy because of the fact that they're going to still end up ossering on each other. So there won't be any point in there being mekabel rishus, and therefore there's no meaning to the transaction. Now, we're going to go through each one of these cases to see exactly like what it's adding. Me'imatai notanim rishus. So tell me from what point you can give rishus. A Beit Shammai says, well, it's like the Erev itself. You can only do it before Shabbos. If it's already Shkia, then you couldn't make an Erev, so you can't be mevatel rishus either. Whereas Beit Hillel says, no, you can do this any time in the day, even after Shkia. Now, what about changing your mind? Mishnatan rishuto, and this was what we just discussed a minute ago, so Mishnatan rishuto v'otzi, bein b'shogeg, bein b'mezid, hareze oser, divrei Rebbe Meir. So this is what we said before, that, I mean, there were two possibilities. It's not clear what this is all about. One is the question of mevatel b'chozer mevatlin, aliba Rebbe Meir, ein chozer mevatlin, aliba the Rebbe Yehuda. And because of that, the once the guy is out of his chatzar, it's only if he is going to assert that he's going to be there. So if he's there, lamaisa, he's ossering. And that was one of our way. Or it could be that everybody is made of that ein chozerin and mevatlim again. And therefore, Rebbe Meir is arguing only in terms of kansinan shogeg atu mezid, according to that approach. And that mi'ikra didn't remember, both Rebbe Yehuda and Rebbe Meir agree, you don't really take back your rishus because you can't, but if you're there, so then you're going to be answering on everyone. But even though it was done b'shogeg, we're going to anyway treat it that way. Remember, we talked about the lashon of kansinan, and it isn't really a kansinan, but we view it as if it were the same case. Okay, so we had two different approaches to that. Reb Yehuda Omer b'Mezid Oser, Reb Shegi Yehuda Oser. Fine, this was what we had discussed at length before. So now let's take a look at each part of this Mishnah and try to understand it. So the Mishnah says that if the guy was mevatel rishus, he cannot carry from his house into the chatzar. But that means that the chatzar itself can carry from their houses, obviously. I mean, the Mishnah says that beferish. So they can carry from their houses into his area of the chatzar. There's whatever rights he had in the chatzar, he was mevatel. I don't understand how that works. Was he mevatel rishus or not? I mean, either batel, So why is his house usher? If he gave them the house, then basically he's not in the house anymore, right? And Ida lo bato, if he didn't even give them any rights, so why is the chatzer mutter if he's still around? No, we're talking about a case where he was mevatel rishus of the chatzer, but he wasn't mevatel rishus of the house, which is fairly typical. So the Rabbanan hold, and we discussed all of this earlier. So the Tanakama holds that mevatel rishus chatzero is only being mevatel rishus chatzero. We don't have a right to assume that he's giving you rishut beito, and therefore it's not like we said before, I'll leave it to Rabbi Eliezer, that you can't do that because by definition, if somebody's mevatel the rights to his chatzer, then he certainly is going to be mevatel the rights to his house, because who's going to live in a house without a chatzer? So they hold Rishus Beis Lo Bito because Dairi Inish Bebayit Belo Chatzer. They disagree with Rabbi Eliezer and they say people will actually live in a house like that. So now if that's the case, let's take a look at the next piece, which says, Shelahen Mutar Lo Velahen. So now he can carry, this is a contradiction. It says he can carry from their house into the chatzer. Why is that? Because when he cancels his rights, he's now looked at as a guest. He's a guest in the chatzer. If I invite somebody to my house where he can't carry from my house to the chatzer because he didn't join in the Erev, he doesn't have to join in the Erev. The Erev is defined by everybody who owns here that have now made their rishus one big happy family. If we want to invite a guest, we can have a guest. So we're looking at this guy as a guest. Why? Because he resigned, so to speak, officially from the chatzer. So why doesn't that work in the other direction? The next thing in the Mishnah says, if they, the other people, give him, the person who did not join in the Erev, they give him the rights to their chatzer, so then he is mutter, but they are usher. Why are they usher? Now they should become his guests. Should be exactly the same thing in the inverse. I mean, how come when he's the one that gives the rights, he's a guest? But when we're the ones that give the rights, we're not a guest. That doesn't seem fair. Why aren't they guests to him? Well, that's pretty obvious, isn't it? I mean, one guy can be a guest for five people that are inviting him into a chatzer. It's a little bit strange to say that all these five people that gave away their rishus to this one guy, so now they're all guests. It's too much of a violation of norms, and you cannot look at it that way. I mean, it's just, it doesn't work that way. A guest is the one who's in the position of not being in the primary position. So it doesn't make sense. That's why. But it's only because of the sense of what it means to be a guest. Now, if the Mishnah is talking about a single case, so that started off in one way and then changed in the middle so that now the other people flipped, and which we said that's the best way to do it. I mean, if I can give you my rishus and then you can carry, and then you can turn around and give me your rishus and then I can carry, so then we didn't have an Erev, everything is fine, right? But that was a question that we had before. Is it mutter to be mevatlin v'chorzenu mevatlin to the other person? I mean, if this Mishnah is one long narrative, so then the Mishnah is proving that mevatlin v'chorzenu mevatlin. Because it says that then if they go ahead and they give him their rishus, oh, on the same Shabbos, you mean? So then, Shema Amina Mevatlim V'chozer Mevatlim? No, come on. It doesn't have to be one long narrative. It's two different cases. Achikama. First, the first case is, they gave him rishus, okay? So then, Hu Mutar V'im Asuri. And then in another case, it would be the way that we're describing it. It's a different case, completely different case, right? All right, so let's go on now to the next piece. Hayushnayim, if there's two people who did not join the Erev, so then even if everybody gave them their rights, they're going to asur on each other. Well, obviously, I understand. I mean, you need to tell me in the Mishnah that if two people live in a chatzer, they need an Erev. That's essentially what you're saying. I mean, I should hope so. What is the point of saying that? No, I'll tell you why. Because what if one of those guys who got the rights from everyone along with this fellow, he then goes over to the other person and he says, okay, now I'm going to give you all of my rights, including my rights to the rights that were given to me by all the people in the chatzer, and now you're the only person in the chatzer. And I don't have any place in this chatzer. So I would have thought Maladatema, I would have thought that should make him mutter, because basically there's now everybody, if you didn't make an Erev, you could have 10 people and they're all going to give their rights to one guy, and now the chutzner is one guy. So if you had five people that gave their rights to two people, one of those two people can give his rights to the remaining person who didn't make the Erev. That's what I would think. And then that would mean that he, in fact, could carry. Kamashvan, therefore, the Mishnah is telling me, no, there's a fundamental problem here. The problem is that at the time that they were being mevatel their rishus, there was no meaning to the bittul rishus, because he wouldn't have been able to carry at that point, right? Because there was somebody else that was answering him. And the whole din of bittul rishus is the emergency measure to allow you to carry. So if somebody is giving you their rishus along with another guy to whom they're giving the rishus, it's a meaningless act, and therefore there was no kinyan of their rishus because it didn't allow you to carry. Okay, and then you seem to just repeat yourself without adding anything, because one person can give rishus and take rishus, but I understand, that's what you just said. Tulomali, I understand. The Mishnah said both of those cases. One person can be no ten rishus. If that's the Chiddush, isn't that the first case in the Mishnah? That the houses are mutter, obviously with bittul. So one can be no ten rishus, and he's able to be mevatel as rishus. That was the first case. If you're trying to tell me that one can accept rishus, that was the next case. If everybody gave their rights to one person, the Mishnah says that that works. So what did you just gain by repeating yourself, adding absolutely no information? No, says the Gemara, we do add information, because this is a sum up which teaches us a big chiddush. Continue on reading and you'll see. Sefer Itzricha, like two people, shnayim notrin rishus, okay? Show me where it said in the Mishnah that two people can give rishus. It doesn't say that anywhere. Well, I understand. Well, that's pshita. Why not? I understand. What do you mean? What's the difference if it's one person, two people, 10 people? I mean, the bottom line is everybody gave their rishus to somebody else. Ah, not so simple, my friends. Because you see, ma'o de tema, I would have thought we shouldn't allow that. I understand that you can do it. But the question is that not going to confuse people? Because, I mean, in the other way, where the people in the chotzer, they would be mevatel to two people, that doesn't work at all. So if we would allow two people to be mevatel to you, people could easily assume that there's no difference in the din between two people and one person. So two people can be mevatel rishos, two people can be kind of the rishos for the people that are mevatel to them. You might have thought that it's going to be too confusing. Kamash Malan, there's no gezera like that. And that actually, if there's a third party, so then two people can be mevatel, or five people can be mevatel to that additional party. And that would be the chiddush. The ein notlim rishus, and two people, you're repeating again, cannot take rishus. That is a complete repetition. You said that if two people are going to be kena, the rishus of other people, they're going to answer one on the other. That was beferish the case in the Mishnah. So again, you're repeating yourself, and there's no added information. Not true. There's added information. I'll tell you why. Because what would you say about a case where the people go over to the two people? So yeah, that five people, big mevatel, the rishus, there are two people. And they say to them, look, guys, it's not going to help you if we give you our rishus, because you still have two private homes and are going to ask her, and you need to make an erev with each other. But what we're going to do is we're going to give you our rishus on condition that you give your rishus and all of this to the one guy that's not here now. So then you might think that that would be fine. Because you might have thought that it's not that there is an issue of the actual validity of the transfer. There's only an issue in the meaning of the validity of the transfer. So if I'm giving my rishus to two people, it's a nonsensical transaction. Okay, so let's make it nonsensical. How do we do that? By making it clear that the purpose of this transfer is for you to go ahead, and when Joe comes in, you give him your rishus with this. Okay, what do you say about doing that? So I would have thought that in that case, it's not nonsensical, and therefore it's okay. Kamashmal on the Mishnah, the issue is not that it's nonsensical. The issue is that there is no such kinyan as acquiring a rishus at a moment that it has no implications currently for your ability to carry. That's the point. So even though you're saying, okay, but ultimately, it will, but there was never a gezeira made for ultimately. The din of bitul rishus was made in order to carry, not ultimately to carry. And therefore, there is no way to make that transaction. That's all. That's the chiddush of the Mishnah.